Hello and welcome to the Web Canopy Studio Show. I'm your host, Tom Andrews, and I'm joined by Web Canopy Studios CEO, John Aiken. In today's episode, we're going to dive deep into a concept that flips the traditional marketing model right on its head, and it's called marketing backwards. You're about to discover how bridging the gap between your sales marketing teams can supercharge your business's growth, how lead scoring can help your sales team prioritize prospects for better engagement and conversions, and how using educational content to build trust and authority with your audience is the single best way of turning leads into loyal customers. So stick around as we unpack these strategies, share real-world examples, and challenge traditional marketing norms. Trust me, you won't want to miss this. So, John, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Tom. How are you, sir?
I am very good here in England, across the pond.
Yeah.
Almost the end of my day. You're, I guess, just a couple of coffees in so far.
I know. Well, yeah, I've had two, and it's time to get another one. But that's okay. I'm glad the meeting time worked out.
Exactly.
You said you got up at 6, and I was still working at midnight, so I was at my desk. Does that happen? Do you get up that early all the time?
Maybe. Kind of. I'd say around 6:30 is my natural wake up time.
Yeah. We should do our podcast when you wake up and when I'm going to bed. I'm sure it would be a lot more interesting.
Yeah. I don't think I trust what I say, but I don't think it would even be eligible what I say at that time, but it could be fun.
Yeah. That'd be all right. All good.
Awesome. So, John, marketing backwards. You just said that you have released podcasts in the past about marketing backwards and your whole philosophy. But I think where we're starting this from scratch, and there's going to be new listeners and old listeners who haven't heard your sultry voice for a while. I think it's a good idea just to start this new series off with describing what is marketing backwards. So give me an overview of it.
Yeah, great question. So the idea of marketing backwards is focused on looking at the metrics that matter the most for your business and building your entire marketing, your sales, your operations, your cross-sell, upsell, retention model around those metrics. And so often when you have these situations where your sales team is working in a silo and the marketing team is working in a silo and they're not really getting a lot of cross-pollination, it is very easy to think about completely separate metrics and completely separate goals in mind. So the marketing backwards concept is essentially like, let's identify what those key numbers are that we want to work with. Almost always, this is like spoiler alert, almost always they are revenue related, sales, revenue, cross-sell. Even if you're just getting marketing leads past the sales, it's MQLs, it's opportunities, deals created, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then start looking backwards from there and identifying things in your process that are creating those avenues, that are opening those doors. And that's really where it's at, because most of the time when people think about marketing, they're thinking top of funnel, high level, especially when you're looking in a B2B world. It's very different. You're selling to a consumer and you're selling directly to, hey, like buy these t-shirts or buy this package. You're literally living at bottom of funnel sale point, right? Like that's where you're focused. But if you're not in that world, which is pretty much everybody that I talk to, you are focusing on, so many people focus on that top of funnel world, social media post, where, what are we going to talk about on Instagram today? What's the blog post that we're getting out? How are we doing on SEO? Is our website traffic going up? Are we getting clicks in our ads? And yes, valuable points. Those are important. Email open rates, yes, they do have a place and they are very important. But if they're not coming to a specific means at the end, it's irrelevant. It's just a lot of activity for no real output. And so that's the concept of marketing backwards, is starting at the end, identifying those, the goal, and then kind of reverse engineering what has to happen to impact that goal.
I love that. That is so cool. As well, when I've worked with clients in the past who have, like you've said, probably been marketing forwards, I guess, where they have started at that top of funnel. And one thing that really stood out to me was they never really gained traction in any of their campaigns, because the top of funnel stuff, like you said, that is really important, but it takes time to get going. And if you're not starting
where the money is made, where the sale is done, where the deal is closed, then essentially I just find that you're spinning your wheels for months and months and months, and you're probably actually going to give up before you actually see like the fruits of your labor, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me just ask, can I just ask you one thing? I want to get your opinion. So say I'm a new client and I'm coming to you and saying, John, this, like, I say my manufacturing business, John, like, we need to get more leads. Simple as that. What would be your first advice, or maybe even the first question you'd ask me if that was the case?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And this happens all the time in the relationships we deal with our clients now. So the very first thing that has to happen is, okay, you're saying I need more leads. I need to have more. Essentially, what you're asking for is your sales team to have more at-bats. So quick story, quick background. We've had a number of times working with clients years ago where we would be doing a lot of marketing on that front end piece, not thinking about marketing with the end in mind. And so we were helping them create blogs and doing social and like forms and things on their website, email campaigns and so on. And we were just absolutely thrilled for this one client because we were like, hey, look, we brought 30 new deals in this quarter. Like, look at the deals that are in the pipeline. That's 30 new at-bats for your sales team. That is awesome. I'm thinking we're going to go tell this client, hey, we got to bump our services. Like, we're going to make them all kinds of money. And they gave a cancellation notice to us like that same week. And I'm like, this can't be right. Like, there's something wrong here. How are we? This is like, this should be like agency fails 101 from back in the day. I get on the phone with the client. I'm like, hey, I just want to make you aware. I got the cancellation notice. I wanted you to see, like, I feel like we crushed it with you this quarter. Your team was great. My team was great. We got a lot going on. And he's like, yeah, 30 deals. I needed 90. And I'm like, okay, where was that in the conversation when we're talking about what your goals are and where you want to be and what you want to do? And he's like, well, we just didn't know it at the time. And I'm like, okay, so maybe what if we reframe instead of canceling our agreement? What if we reframe and talk about, let's set the goal and then help have my team understand how we can help hit that goal through, whether it's different re-engagement actions, whether it's ads, whether it's some kind of webinar, workshop, bootcamp kind of process. And so that is a really great scenario to explain kind of where you were just asking that question of like, what would I want to know, or what would my first question be if a client or a manufacturing VP of marketing said that to me? And I would say, I need to identify what the goal is. So when you're asking or saying, I need more leads, what should we do? I want to know what you're doing now. I want to know how that's performing. Is that good? Is it bad? And then I want to know where you'd like to be. And so if I can see where we're at now and I can see where you want to go, what the next step then is to break it down and to start identifying 3 to 4 to 5 key obstacles in the way of getting there. And so then as a team, we collaborate and break down what those obstacles would be.
So those obstacles, are they generally the same obstacles, like from client to client, or are they vastly different on an individual basis?
Great question. They're generally the same, depending on the kind of process that company is working with. So in most cases, it's usually just a disconnect between what the marketing team, what the sales team is doing. Most of the time, the marketing team has their own goal or their own efforts that they're working towards, and that's driving everything that they're focused on. But they're not necessarily tying that into the sales team's quota or how that impacts. The other thing that I've seen with that is the marketing team sometimes does really care about that, and they really are invested in that. But the sales team looks at it as, well, we are a sales team. We're doing our own, like, I'm busy with my own leads. Those are just leads for marketing. Those are extra. We'll get to those another time. And so there's not really that cross pollination thing happening, and they're not connected there. So that's usually one of the first ones, is to help bridge that gap between the sales team and the marketing team, making sure that those systems are in place to at least understand what the definitions are and what has to happen for those definitions to be triggered from the next stage to the next stage.
Awesome. So can you go a little bit deeper into that, like how you would do that and how you would sort of bridge that? path between sales and marketing?
Yeah. So a really great example of this, a quick fix for anybody that's trying to figure this out in just a short term, is to utilize Lead Score. And it's really easy to do if you're in HubSpot. There's a lot of other tools that will do this as well. But and ideally, it's not even just one score. I'd like to see two scores, because the idea of Lead Score is to identify prospects that are high fit and high engagement. And so in order to do that, I need to be able to somehow identify and score contacts or leads that I'm working based off of how good of a fit they are compared to my ideal client. So I might say industry manufacturing plus 13 points, industry higher ed plus 5 points, industry attorneys negative 13 points. No offense, attorneys. you know, like you have the different industries you want to work with, and you don't. Job
English
titles.
Minus 13 points. Yeah. I'm English. I can say that.
British.
Yeah.
yes. No. Tom, we love you. Come on, man. So you would have these different criteria to go plus or minus. And based off of what data you collect, whether you're using enrichment data or it's data that's filled out from forms or things that you've identified on calls, whatever it might be, you're going to add to or subtract from that person's lead score. And again, in HubSpot, that's just automatic. So I would look at it from a fit score perspective in that situation. Then we have engagement, because it's one thing to just identify a group of people that are good fit. But if they don't know you, if they have no clue who you are or what you're doing or really anything essentially about the engagement or the efforts that they're trying to talk to you with, it's a wasted phone call, because they're not going to know who you are, right? So we look at engagement as well as a separate score. And that engagement would be things like, have they visited the website? Have they clicked on our ads? Have they filled out forms? Have they re-engaged in nurturing email? Have they opened checklists and guides? Like, how plus or minus, again, how active are they? And the minus part is really important too, because I want to subtract if they're not active anymore. So it's really important to have like last activity date within 60 days or something like that, because at that point, and then subtract a lot, because at that point they're not actively engaged within that 60-day window. So they're not technically a high fit, high engaged customer. Now, the reason that this is important, high fit, high engaged, if you have that criteria, as soon as someone hits that, you want to notify a sales rep right away. And even if you have to notify the sales rep and CC your CEO or somebody on it and say, hey, this person meets all the criteria for a great client, and they're engaging with all of these really good signals right now. We want the sales team to work this. Most of the time, a sales person that hears that and knows that, and they have a quota to fill, they'll be like, thank you, I'm going to go call this person, rather than just seeing it as, oh, these are a list of leads that someone filled out a form. The other way that that would be valuable would be high fit, but still just a little bit low engagement, that need a little bit more push, not completely cold, but lower on the engagement level. So there's some awareness. And why I think that would be valuable, the story that I tell in the past on previous podcasts was like, if I'm a salesperson and I have 2 hours in my day to just prospect, just to try and add more opportunities into my pipeline, I want to spend those 2 hours as wisely as I possibly can. So those at-bats, if you will, need to be valuable. I don't want to spend those 2 hours calling people who are going to yell at me and hang up on me and waste my time, because I want to have as much positive momentum as I can, one call after the next. So where am I going to go to identify that? Well, rather than just Googling, looking at Zoom Info, looking at Apollo, and just hopefully hitting something at some point, I want to look at this data. And I want to see those that are already in my database that are scored high for high fit and are also pretty well engaged, but aren't being worked yet or aren't having that conversation yet. And so in that situation, we're basically giving a list of active people always for the sales team to pursue.
That's awesome. I love that. And I remember I was in a sales job years ago. This is just after I finished university or college, as you guys call it. Selling gym memberships, so very much B2C, but part of the job was cold calling people, which I didn't really like, especially because we didn't have any of this lead scoring stuff. So it was just calling people, and even though you're selling a good thing, you're not selling like something that no one cares about. you still got a lot of really peed off people who didn't want to hear from you. You're disrupting their day. So this is really fascinating stuff, because from a sales point of view, if you can call someone who you think, judging by the data, is going to be receptive to your message and is actually going to, like you say, be like, make it worth your while and your time for actually calling them, then happy days all round. Now, just quickly, you've touched on what sales can do there. So when they look at all the these scores, like say who's high fit, high engagement, what could the marketing side do for somebody who's high fit, slightly lower engagement? If you're a marketer, is there a way you can target this group of people to like increase that engagement?
Yeah, great point, great question. I think the biggest opportunity here is not necessarily about awareness. This is a more consideration kind of approach. And what I mean by that is, this is where it's really important to focus on relationship building and trust building, building authority, letting people know that this is a very safe and secure means of solving the issue that they have. Again, at this point, a lot of people still talk about themselves all the time. If I open my inbox right now, every single promotional email talks about the products, the software that people have, why I should get a demo with them. And like, I don't care. I do not care, because I'm busy. I'm checking my email because I've got a contract that I need to send out and I got to get it countersigned and send a link to somebody else, right? So when I see this email come in that's like, hey, I want to give you a demo of my product, I'm like, you're just wasting your own time right now, because I'm going to send you to spam. So what we don't want to do is have our own outreach efforts to this group of people end up in that same bucket. And so the best way to do something like that, if I'm on a marketing team and I'm trying to warm up people who kind of know us, maybe they're on our list, maybe they've done some things with us, but they are good fits, at least from our own perspective with the data we have, I want to build authority and build trust with them. And the way I'm going to do that is through a workshop, is through a training, is through some kind of, let me help you identify what you, like just something within your role of what you don't want to have happen in the future or what you need to be aware of. So a perfect example, one of our clients was a higher end software, and they were for construction companies that needed to make sure all of their employees, all of their contractors had the correct credentials and OSHA certifications and all these different things so they could go pursue government work. And so in order to do that, rather than just selling the software, which they were doing, they were sending out all these emails and sharing all this information about, hey, this is our software, you need to get our software, it's going to help your contractors, yada, yada. We helped them see that, why don't we change this to like, here are the changes in 2024 for OSHA standards that your construction company needs to be aware of. We're doing a free webinar or a free workshop around things to prepare for next year. And it's a quite helpful resource. And so people get in, they're enjoying it. They're hearing the CEO talk about it specifically. And guess what the pitch is at the end? It's, we actually have all of this documented. We have the entire process ready to go. It's as easy as a few clicks of a button. All you need to do is enroll your contractors into here and you're good. And so they sold without really selling. And that model is so brilliant for people who are in a situation where they need to get some people who are high fit, but not quite all the way engaged. You just need to build trust and you need to build authority and like be a resource for them.
Yeah. I love that. And I know when we started doing a lot of that for clients several years ago, that some of those campaigns worked so well, especially because that whole model, it's a guy called Russell Brunson, who's in the business opportunity world. And it's a little bit, that world can be a little bit dodgy. And I don't necessarily believe most of the claims in that world, but in terms of the actual marketing itself, it is very good. And there's a lot you can learn from that world and take it away into what I call the real business world, especially in the B2B, or even like the e-com world as well. But we've essentially taken that, or you essentially don't want to take credit where it's not due. You essentially took that model and started running that model to our clients, and then also the clients we brought on to their own clients or prospects, should I say. And it worked super, super well. So if you're listening, it's definitely something to try on your own. And on that note, next episode, John, I would absolutely love if we went really in depth into this whole masterclass model where we just provide value and we sell on the back of it. So,
love that.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.